Ramsey TV.
Welcome to another week, ladies and gentlemen. It is a privilege to be here with our Lord and Savior and his dear friend, Mary Magdalene. This, of course, is a still shot from the movie Jesus Christ Superstar, made in the 70s. My sister and I wore that album out. It's such a beautiful rendition, especially when you consider what the writers and the director do with Judas. They really have a sympathy toward Judas in that he was definitely locked into a corner by prophecy. He had to do what he had to do. This is Martin Zender. You are at MZTV. I saw Ted Neely. That's right. A friend of my sister's and mine invited us to Cleveland. At that time, Ted Neely was still touring and doing the stage, a stage production of Jesus Christ Superstar. The man had not lost his pipes whatsoever. I mean, he could wail still. And I remember we were going out to dinner before the show, and we're walking along the sidewalk, and I look into a restaurant, and I say, in fact, I looked into the window of the restaurant we were going to be going into, and I said, I think I just saw Ted Neely sitting at a table by the window. And my sister said, oh, yeah, right. Sure you did. But, I mean, was it so unusual seeing as how he was performing across the street? I thought it was very possible. Well, we went into the restaurant, and there he is, Ted Neely. There he is. Went up to him, talked to him. My sister remarked about something that indeed was remarkable. He was eating bread and drinking wine. I kid you not. My sister and I told him how we absolutely loved the film and the music, and the show was absolutely tremendous. This is Yvonne Elliman. She was not in the production. But Ted, in the play, he wore the same tunic that he wore in the movie. It was fantastic. Anyway, I love how Mary comforts him, and I love how Jesus accepts the comfort of women. In fact, there's a great scene and with the song Everything's All Right. In fact, I'm going to link it to you. It is so great. You got these because women are famous for being comforters and for understanding, for being empathetic. And so it seemed to me in the life of Christ, women comforted Jesus and men killed him. Well, the disciples were his friends, but I don't know how much comfort they offered him. He was usually frustrated with them, but thank God for Mary and these other women who ministered to his needs. It is a beautiful thing. Before I get started on what is love, I want to tell you that on Sunday, I published part 3 of What is a Believer. This is the series about what is a believer. Yes, but you see, I recorded these messages 21 years ago, but they've been on cassette tapes, as many of you know, been in a storage unit in Canton, Ohio for 10 years. I mean, that's 21 years ago they were recorded. And our friends from Texas, Rodney Paris, has digitized these cassettes and put some really stupendously watchable video behind it and some text frames that helps the teaching come across and get right to you. So there's another link there, underneath another link. If you haven't seen it yet, watch it. A lot of confusion out there as far as what is a believer, as you know. Okay, now on to the topic of love. Was I ever shocked when I found out that God expected me to do agape love? I'd always heard that agape, that's the Greek word translated love. And I was told, and it's true, this was God's love. And it was the purest and holiest thing ever. Okay, I can deal with that. But could I deal with this? In Ephesians 5:25, Paul says, husbands, love your wives. Love? Can't be the same word. Agape, God's love. Certainly, God doesn't expect me to love my wife as he loves all creation. I paged through my concordance, and Ephesians 5:25, agape. What the heck? But ladies and gentlemen, the good news is you're going to find out how good this news is. If you've ever been rebuffed by a girlfriend or a wife or anybody, if your friends have ever turned their backs on you, they are not practicing love. But there is a way that you can get back at them. That's right. I'm talking about revenge. Oh, wait till you hear about this. The revenge is agape love, because agape love cannot be denied. Let me define for you another word in the scriptures that is often confused with love, and that is the word philia. That's the root word from whence comes the name of the city Philadelphia in Pennsylvania, the city of brotherly love. Of course, there's never been any crime or murder or cheating in Philadelphia. It's the city where everybody loves each other. But the root word there is philia, and it doesn't mean love. The concordant version, thankfully, does not translate this word love. Why should it? They already have a word, the word love, and they're using it for agape. The beautiful thing, if I may say so, the beautiful thing about the concordant version is it assigns each Greek word an English word, and then it never uses that English word for another Greek word. In other words, that English word now does duty for that Greek word. They're tied together. They're married. They're inseparable. So when the concordance sees agape, they translate it love, and they never use love again for any other word, because every different Greek word is a different thought from God, from his mind. This is called sound translating. So when they get to philia, they're not going to translate it love, because they already have a word for love. I told you, it's agape. So what do? They look at every context. They find a word that fits every context, and the word they use was fondness. Ah, yes, fondness. We see fondness being exercised behind me here with our Lord and Mary Magdalene, but there was also love. Also love. Love and kindness can go together, but they don't need to. You can be fond of someone without loving them, and you can love them without being fond of them. Wait till you hear what we're supposed to do with our enemies, and wait till you hear what we don't have to do for our enemies. That's what I want to hear. It's like, okay, I know I'm supposed to love my enemies, but can you tell me what I don't have to do for them? Going to get into that this week. This week. So, but it's great if you can agape and filio at the same time. That's the double play. Yes, if you can agape and filio at the same time. It's not required. It does happen. I love it when it happens. I'm a lover. See, I'm a Libra. We're romantics, but romance has nothing to do with this. It's a good thing I brought it up, because I hope last week I helped you distinguish between the mushy Hallmark style love and true love, God's love. Now, I'm pulling from a ZWTF, that was my newsletter. I'm pulling from a ZWTF 3.37, volume 3, issue 37. If you want to read that on your own, you may do so. I'm not going to link it here because I want you to work a little bit for it. Go to martinzender.com, scroll down, look for ZWTF Archives. There you will find it. I want you to work a little bit. Maybe you've never been to martinzender.com. A lot of great stuff there. So love, this is the big thing. Love is not an emotion. I know I said that before, but I'm going to launch on a new thing from here. The Hallmark Company has no idea what love is. Love has nothing to do with arrows going through hearts and with rhyming sentiments. Roses so red, violets so blue. If I do not like you, I'll say screw you. No. Roses are red, violets are blue, sugar is sweet, and so are you. No, that's not love. That's philia. That's a fondness. Most people don't even practice love. Most people don't even know what it is. They're practicing filio. Okay, I should have defined these words. Agape love is love that doesn't care what you think of it. Agape love goes forward from the source. and it can't be denied. Why? Because agape love does not care if the object is worthy or not. It's blind. How dare you get that love is blind? There, that's where it comes from. Love is blind. Agape love is blind. But filio, translated in the concordant version, fondness, it's not blind. It's got its eye on you. And as long as you are nice to it, it will be nice to you. But if you screw it, it will screw you. You see, it's conditional. Filio is fondness. I mean, you like someone. But it's contingent upon that person being likable. So, it's a nice thing. It's okay. But it's flimsy. It's not dependable. It's not agape. Now, love does not necessarily produce soul mates. Many people in their relationships, boyfriends, girlfriends, they try to find their soul mate. They try to make this soul thing happen. In some cultures, they choose mates for one another. I think that is... I just about think that's a great idea. I just about do, because you decide to love someone. You don't even have to find something lovable about them. You just get along and you eliminate this crazy dating stuff. You get rid of all the stress and all the pressure of washing your freaking car, you know, scrubbing the white walls, finding the right cologne, putting the right jacket on. It saves a lot of trouble, I think. So, now, as far as emotion goes, now, true love, agape love, will produce emotion, but the emotion follows it. It hooks onto it like a caboose on an engine, okay? Whereas, filial love puts the emotion up front. In filio, that is, I shouldn't have called it filial love, in with affection, with fondness, the emotion rules. You have to like the person. Love, not so much. But emotions will follow it. I said love is a decision. That was no accident. Love is a decision that benefits another person, as I said, without regard for that person's worthiness. If worthiness were involved, again, if worthiness were involved, the word wouldn't be love, it would be fondness. Now, I think it's refreshing to have a word in the language for this wonderful thing that we are capable of. Here's the thing. We're actually capable of agape love. This is the thing that shocked me when I looked at Ephesians 5:25, that I can do this. What a godly attribute. And again, this is one of the most comforting things. Whenever you're cast out of someone's life, whenever someone turns their back on you, you have a weapon that will comfort you. And it is the fact of knowing that you can love a person and they can't do anything to stop it. Ha ha. It's an offensive weapon. I'm going to get into this because I love this topic. I got some great phrases for you, but I'm going to save them. I'm that kind of a guy. But in the early days, I'm sure humans, Adam and Eve and their families, they must have noticed a strange thing in them. It wasn't that they liked someone. There was that. I like the way Seth, the son of Adam, I like the way he washes the bowls after dinner. I like the way that was Seth's sister. I like the way she hems the drapes, puts them up on our adobe home. That's great. I don't like how Cain draws swastikas on the walls. So you're fond of Seth and Sethet. You're not fond of Cain. But then something else comes up. And you realize, if you're Adam and Eve, that even though Cain is carving swastikas onto trees, hanging his brother in effigy on the same tree, there's something in you that would never abandon him. There's something in you that cares for him beyond It has to be beyond because his behavior sucks. Beyond his actions, his behavior. And the humans must have fumbled for a word for this. They didn't have it. They had like, yeah. They already had that. Eve came up with like.
I need a word to describe how I feel about Seth It.
Well, we got this word in the grab bag. I think this word like. I think that does duty. How do you think of that? What do you think of that, Eve?
I like that word like.
Oh, see, she used it twice in a sentence. It's very good. Impressive. So, but they had not a word for this strange, seemingly otherworldly otherworldly godlike power that was causing them to embrace someone or to see, they couldn't come up with a word. They didn't have it. They want to work for the well-being of a person who's a complete jerk. And there were other jerks besides Cain. Yes, their extended families went on and on. They multiplied like rabbits back in those days. And so they fumbled around for a word. Adam and Eve got together one morning with coffee, and they were tossing around words to describe this thing that was so different. It wasn't fondness. It was something greater. It was something more. Adam tried the word hubcap. That was stupid. Eve just discarded it. It's hubcap. Now, that's going to apply to something else sometime. I just don't like that word. Eve said, how about duck? Adam rolls his eyes. Duck. You see that thing over there? Quack, 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 quack. Oh, that's right, Eve. That's right, Eve said. We already have that word applied to that strange creature that can swim, fly, and walk. See, they were already familiar with good translating practices. Don't repeat the word. We're not going to call this emotion duck, and also call that strange creature that quacks duck. We're not going to do it. So they eventually came up with the word love. And it was great that they finally had a handle for this crazy thing that was happening within them. Now, this love always existed. The humans kind of latched onto it. Why did it always exist? Because it was implanted in humans by God. Why? Because God is love. Remember that great verse? It doesn't say God is fondness. God is filio. God likes you. This is the Christian God. Whoa. This is the Christian God. The Christian God, they say God is love, but if he was love, then he would not consider the worthiness of the object. But apparently, according to the Christian religion, God only saves people who are worthy, who behave themselves, who love him back, who say the sinner's prayer or whatever. So if that were truly the case, it's not. The scripture would say, God is fondness, or God is Philadelphia. God lives in Philadelphia. Why? Well, because his love is conditional. Thus, you can't even call it love. You might as well call it duck or hubcap, because it has nothing to do with agape, this beautiful thing. But God is love. And so this exists in him. And this is part of how we are made in the image of God. We can love. And I posed the question last week. How the hell does evolution, the false teaching, how does that explain love? It doesn't. It doesn't. Love is something in us direct from God, and it bubbles in us. It's active. It's the art and the skill of being nice to somebody, as I said, even though they're a jerk. The Beatles caught on to this, but I think they got it wrong. Beatles are famous. I love the Beatles, of course, for this song All You Need Is Love. But I think that the Liverpoolians, I think they confused it with fondness. I think they confused it with LSD. Or perhaps, though, the LSD might have connected them with the actual truth of love. Might have taken them beyond their probably natural tendency to like those who like them, to only be fond of people who are fond of them, who are worthy. I don't know. I've never tried LSD. I don't know what it does. So I'll end with this for the day. Love is a decision. keep that with you. The Nike company coined a phrase, and this is a great close for today. The Nike company actually came up with a great phrase to describe agape love. Can you believe it? The best definition I've ever heard. And it's this: just do it. Just do it. You don't have to wait till you feel it. You ever heard the phrase, fake it till you make it? I don't know what company invented that, but that works too. So I'm hijacking this phrase, just do it, and I'm using it to define love because I'm telling you, it suits it perfectly. Love is just do it, with the key word being do. Well, now we're back to the Beatles. Love me, do. That was pretty good. Love, love me, do. You know I love you. I'll always be true. Great. Love is always true. So please, love me, do. Just do it. It's an active word. It's something you do. You don't feel love. You just do love. So I think the Donna Summer song, I Feel Love, which I love that song, Donna Summer, queen of disco. I think her song, I Feel Love, I don't think that was a good name for it. Just the way she dances, the way she oozes, a very sexual woman. I think what she meant was, I feel lust. Yeah. Love is also often confused with lust. I'm going to explain lust. I'm going to explain love. I'm going to give you scriptural examples and Martin Zender examples. And then I'm going to define it as God defines it in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You are going to love it.